This message is presented to you by Pastor David Lambert and Exceed Life Church in Virginia Beach, Virginia. For more information, visit exceedlifechurch.org.
I'm so excited about this series that we're in on grace. Amen? And, grace, also known as Jesus Christ. Amen? Jesus is our grace. You believe that today? And if it wasn't for Jesus, we would have no grace. Do you believe that today? We would have common grace. God gives common grace to all people because his goodness reigns on the just and the unjust. But that's common grace. But then there's Jesus' grace. And that's the type of grace I want to walk in. How many people want to walk in Jesus' grace? And I want to walk in that grace because you know what? Jesus was bound by nothing. Amen. Jesus walked in total freedom. Do you believe that today? Amen. Nothing bothered Jesus. Amen. And you know what? Jesus said, in this life you will have troubles. But he said, don't be full of fear. He said, be of good cheer. Amen. Why? Because grace, I'm going to say this to you this morning, grace can cause you to overcome in the worst of circumstances and situations. Amen. Do you believe that? Grace works the best under the most pressure. Amen. I'm going to say, I have so many scriptures on that, but grace works the best under the most pressure. You believe that today? So we're discovering about grace, and really, I believe that you can walk in greater grace, that you can walk in a greater measure of God's anointing. How many people want to walk in a greater measure of God's anointing? Amen? Amen. A greater measure of grace. Because if you're walking in a greater measure, you're going to be able to do things easier. Yeah. Amen. Your life is going to be a lot easier. So let's look at the foundational scripture here. In Acts 4:32, it says, now the multitude of those who believed were of one heart and one soul. This is talking about the early church, when the church was established. And so they were together. And it says, and the multitude of those who believed were of one heart, one soul. Neither did anyone say that any of their things he possessed was his own, but they had all things in common. And with great power, the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace, somebody say great grace, was upon them all. So we see this is interesting. You know, a lot of times when we think about the grace of God, or when you think about the anointing of God, a lot of times we think about the anointing being on the ministers of God. We think about, oh, God's ministers are anointed by God to do a job, right? God's ministers are anointed, you know. And we know that the anointing came on kings and priests in the Old Testament, and came on, you know, the people that served God, that were leaders of God. But I'm going to say this. It says great grace was upon not just the apostles, but was upon them all. I'm going somewhere this morning. I'm going somewhere. Great grace wasn't just on the apostles, but great grace was upon them all. In other words, you could say great grace is God. God was on them. Somebody say, God's on me. See, God's not only in you, but he's on you. Oh, that's powerful. That's powerful. God's not only in you. When you receive Jesus, you receive the Spirit of God. But not only is the Spirit within you, the Spirit is upon you. Amen. Why? To do a job. Somebody say, I got a job to do. I'm going to say this. You all are anointed of God to do a job for the kingdom of God. Do you believe that today? Amen. And no job is too small for the kingdom of God. Whatever God calls you to do, it doesn't matter if it's cleaning the church or preaching on the platform. Whatever level you're at, the grace of God is there to meet you. Amen. In those levels. And I'm telling you, the grace of God is there to meet mothers, to mother their children, fathers to father their children, glory God. Husbands to be a blessing to their wives. Wives, the anointing is on you to be a blessing to your husband. The anointing of the grace of God.
Amen.
Can I get an amen? Amen. So the whole church was anointed. Last week, we noticed this. It said, if you look at the scripture, it said they were of one heart and one soul. And you know, the key to the abundant grace in our life is unity. Can somebody say unity? And so we know that. So grace is brought about by us being in unity. What I ministered last week, we have to be in unity with God. Amen. The only way you can be in unity with God is having a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. That's the only way. You can't separate Jesus from the Father.
Amen.
So that's the only way to be in true unity. Remember Jesus said that God's looking for true worshipers?
Amen.
That will worship God in spirit and in truth. You cannot be a true worshiper unless you have received Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Because Jesus as your Lord and Savior gives you the grace to worship God in the way that God wants to be worshiped.
Amen.
Can I get a witness in the house? Amen. And so that's the grace of God. Amen. The grace of God will bring unity with us and God, and unity with the body of believers. And so what is the enemy trying to do in this day and age? He's trying to divide and conquer.
Yeah.
What is the devil trying to do? He's trying to create division in families. He's trying to create division in churches. He's trying to create division with your boss and as an employee relationship in your workplace. He wants to create division. Amen. And we know that division is the anti-anointing. Amen. And so we got to be very careful that we're peacemakers, glory to God.
Amen.
Somebody say, I need to be a peacemaker.
Amen.
And so really the key is walking in abounding grace is to, somebody say, love God,
love people.
And you know what that means to love God and love people? You say, what does that mean? Does that mean, you know, I just tell people that I love them with the love of the Lord? You know, no. Loving God and loving people is means you're spending your time with God. And you're spending your time with people.
Amen.
I'm going to say that again. Can I say this again? If you're going to show your love, it's always going to cost you something. It's going to cost you your time.
Amen.
So you giving your time to God in prayer, worship, the church, you giving your time to other believers, amen, in your service to one another, that reveals your love for people. Can I give you an example here? Yesterday, I went to the gym at the YMCA, and I have the 24-hour access, so I can go. They close down at 4 o'clock, so I can go and scan in, and it's like my own gym. Amen. I love that. 24-hour access, and pastor, like it's like owning my own gym. I love it. But there was these two young men. They were probably in their teens, and they were trying to get into the building, but they didn't have a card, and they were trying to get me to get them into the building because they needed their phone charged. And I said, listen, they got cameras, and if I let you in the building and something happens while you're in the building, I'm going to be responsible. So, you know, we got to always be responsible. And they said, well, we needed to charge our phone because I need to call, you know, somebody to pick us up. And they were having a carnival right down the street from the YMCA. And so I said, and so I thought, okay, what would love do? What would love do? So I said, they had a cord. So I said, let me do this. I'll charge your phone up in my car because I have a charger in my car. And so I sat in my car, turned it on, charged their phone up. Amen. And I was pressed for time. I didn't really have the time to do this, but love gives you your time away. Oh, I'm talking to somebody today. Love gives your time away. People that don't love, they're selfish with their time. Are you hearing what I'm saying today? They don't want to give up their time. Amen? But time is valuable. And so I was plugging in and I charged it up. And they were able to call the person to pick them up. And then I ministered to them about Jesus. And I just told them that, you know, the why I did this is because Jesus is in my life. Jesus is a giver, and Jesus makes me to be a giver. And I just told them that I asked them if they had, you know, if they had any Christian background. I ministered to them. I prayed for them. They knew that it was the Lord's grace that opened the door for them, because they were stuck out there for an hour and they had a dead phone trying to get in contact. Amen. What am I saying? God's grace, God's anointing will prompt us to get out of our comfort zones.
Amen.
Will prompt us to do something extra. In other words, Jesus says, go the extra mile. And I'm telling you, God's grace will enable us to go the extra mile. God's grace in our lives enables us to do extraordinary things for the kingdom of God. How many people, you know this, that you are all in a race.
Amen.
You all have a calling. You know, calling's not just for fivefold ministers. You're all called to do something for the body of Christ. But how many people want to run their race effortlessly? In other words, that you don't want to have anything hindering you from running your race. Well, when we tap into the grace of God, it makes it easier.
Amen.
I'm saying, in other words, this life of faith and this life of grace should not be hard. We should not be saying, oh, I got a hard road to hoe. I got a hard cross to bear, Pastor. It's going to be miserable down here. Who says it has to be miserable down here as a Christian? Who says you got to be a miserable Christian? I don't think you need to be. I think God wants happy Christians.
Amen.
God wants joyful Christians.
Amen.
Why? Because He wants us being an influence. The anointing of God on your life should make you joyful.
Amen.
In other words, the anointing is a drawing card for the kingdom of God. When people see the grace of God on your life, they should want some of it.
Amen.
Are you hearing what I'm saying? They should see the grace of God, and they should want some of what you have. Glory to God. Amen? So the grace in our lives is the ability to accomplish more than we could ever accomplish in the natural. In other words, God, with God, He can take you further than you can go on your own. Can I get a witness in the house today? I believe in this series that I'm ministering to you, that it will help you. I got to get out of my chair.
Amen.
It's going to help you go to the next level.
Amen.
I mean, some of us feel like we're stuck. We feel like we're boxed in. We feel like that we're not moving. It doesn't seem like anything's happening. We seem stuck. But the grace of God can unstuck you. The grace of God can unstuck. Remember those three leopards that was in Israel, and Israel was besieged, and they were keeping food from coming in, and they were starving out. The enemy was starving out Israel. And remember the three leopards said, "Why sit here and die?" They said, "Why?" See, I'm going to say this to you this morning. Why sit there and die? No, you got to get up. You got to do something. You got to keep moving. Because I'm going to say this, it's hard for the devil to hit a moving target. And if you're going to walk in the grace of God, you better get up and keep moving. And those leopards said, "Why sit here and die?" And they started marching. They started moving out. God can't direct anything that's not moving. If you're not getting up and you're not going, how can God direct you? And so the leopards started moving out. And as they did, the enemy heard thousands of sounds of horses coming to their camp. And they said, "Oh my gosh, the Israelites must have hired some people to come wipe us out." And the enemy left all their stuff behind. Think about that. Somebody say the grace of God. You got these three leopards. They were the lowest in society. God can take the poorest person and put them in a castle. God can bring the person that's in the lowest place in their state and raise them up to higher heights. God is a specialist at making nobodies somebodies. Do you believe that today? And I'm telling you, He's making some of us, and we may be a nobody in the world, but I'm going to say this, you're a somebody in God. I'm going to say this, God knows your name. God knows who you are. God has your name written on the palm of His hand. If you have Jesus in your life, you have your name engraved in the palm of God's hand. I'm telling you, you're something in God. The grace of God will make you into something. You believe that today? So I like this, and then there's what I call, there's different types of grace. And the first type of grace is saving grace. Somebody say saving grace. And saving grace is not based on you and your works and your goodness. Thank God it's not. Thank God that God didn't look down and say, well, they're doing really good. I'm going to save them. No, saving grace comes in your badness. And the worst state that you could be in, that's when saving grace comes into your life. In other words, you're doing all the wrong things. You're living like the world. You're lying, cheating, stealing, cussing. And then God's grace comes in and affects your life. Isn't that powerful? And God transforms. His grace is transformative. His grace is transforming us. I'm going to say, you're looking more like Jesus every Sunday I look at you guys. You're looking more like Jesus Christ. You may say, well, you don't know what I did last week. That's all right. The grace of God is going to knock those negative things out of your lives. I love that. Somebody say saving grace. In Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, listen to this. This is powerful. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And that's not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. Not of works, lest anyone should boast. This is a powerful. Somebody say, by grace, through faith. Say it again. By grace, through faith. See, it's by grace that we do everything in this life for God. It's by grace through faith, and it's not of ourselves. I wasn't smart enough to get saved. I didn't study the Hebrew and the Greek and to figure it all out and to find out if Jesus was the Messiah. I didn't do all the studying. No, the Holy Spirit just woke me up. The Holy Spirit drew me by His Spirit, by God's Spirit. And the Holy Spirit put me in the right place to say the right prayer to get saved. Amen? I had no sense to get saved. I didn't even know I needed to be saved. Anybody out there like that? I didn't know I needed to be saved. I thought I was doing all right. You know, most people don't believe they need to be saved. Most people believe that they're doing all right. They're not the axe murderer. They're not the serial killer. You know, they're not rapists. They're decent folk, right? But decent folk will still split hell wide open. Why? Because it's not about your good works that's going to get you there. All other religions are based on a good works system to get you to their God. But Christianity is not based on a good work system. It's based in faith in Jesus Christ. Amen. It's based on our faith in Jesus' good work. Not our good work. So that's why we have nothing to boast about when we get to heaven. Because His grace actually gives us the faith to say yes and amen. Can I get a witness in the house today? So grace... This is interesting. Grace is God knocking on the door of our hearts. Faith is us opening the door. Okay, are you hearing what I'm saying? Again, grace is God knocking. He's knocking. And faith is us opening the door. See, God is knocking on the hearts of many people, but some aren't willing to open the door. But if you were willing to open the door, he'll come in. Amen. And he will wreck your life in a good way. Some people say, oh, my life is wrecked. Not in a bad way, you know, because we always use the opposites. He will enhance your life, let me put it that way, in a good way. Revelation 3:20 says that here, says that, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and dine with him and he with me. So what is God looking for? You know what I ministered last week? I ministered unity with God and people. God's looking for fellowship. He's looking for us to fellowship with him. In a sense, you're fellowshipping with him right now as I minister the word of God to you. God can speak to you through me. And then God can touch you right where you are at. And I can say one phrase that can really wreck you. And it's the grace of God that touches you, revealing to you where you're at, where you're going, and where you need to be. The grace of God is drawing you closer to God. You believe that today? So saving grace is a gift of God. The grace cannot be earned. Say somebody, say a free gift. So that's why the grace of God must be focused on Jesus. There's no grace apart from Jesus. I'm going to say it again. There's no grace apart from Jesus. I looked up Jesus and grace, and there's so many scriptures that connect Jesus and grace all in the New Testament. I'm just going to give you one. I thank, in 1 Corinthians 1:4, I thank my God always concerning you for the grace of God which was given to you by Christ Jesus. Think about that. The grace of God. Now, grace can also be likened to favor of God. How many people like to be favored in here? You know, I like to say I have favor of God on my life. I have, you know, I buy donuts at the Krispy Kreme donut place for my kids. And I sometimes I go in there and they give me free donuts. I don't know why they do it, but they give me extra donuts. They give me free donuts. They see me there quite often. And I'm always there smiling and, hey, how you doing? Being very positive. And sometimes they give me free donuts. I say that's donut grace. How many people like to have some donut grace in the house? Amen. I like that. I like that. I like that. How many people, who doesn't like donuts? If you don't like donuts, you're not American. Amen. You gotta love donuts if you are an American. Amen. Amen. And so I'm talking about that grace. That God's grace is also likened to favor. And I'm telling you, we should be volleying for God's favor in our lives. Amen? We discover that grace and favor sets us apart. And I'm going to say this, grace and favor can set you apart from other people. In other words, grace can put you ahead of the line while people are waiting in line. It doesn't seem right, but you know what? God can love on anybody, and God can put you at the first of the line. Amen. Do you believe that? And God's grace can divinely protect you when all hell is breaking loose around you. Amen. I'm going to say it again. God's grace can divinely protect you when all hell is breaking. I almost got in a car accident last night. I didn't tell my wife because she would have got upset with me. And I was looking because there was I was looking to the right, and I wasn't looking to the left, and this car came, and I was like inches. I pulled out, and I didn't see that car, and it got whoo. And what came out of my mouth was, Jesus! I mean, it was so close. Do you know how close you are to tragedy in your life? Do you know how close, how the devil would want to take some of you out? How the devil would want to kill some of you early in life? The devil hates you, and if he could, he would kill you in a New York second. But I want to say this, he can't kill you. I'm telling you, he can't take you out before your time. He couldn't take Jesus out before his time, and he can't take you out before your time. In other words, with long life, God will satisfy you and show you his salvation. What does that mean? That means abundant life. If he's showing you his salvation, that means he's showing you great relationships, abundance in finances, and a blessed, healthy life. I'll show you my salvation. Man, I'm going to get this CD myself. Glory to God. I'm preaching myself happy. Now look at this. Now keep in here with me. Now God's grace will divinely protect you when judgment is hitting the world. Now let's look at Genesis. Genesis 6, 5, 8. This is powerful. Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, that every intent of the thoughts of the heart was only on evil continually. And the Lord was sorry that he had made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. Man, we can grieve the heart of God. And so there was evil all over the world. So the Lord said, I will destroy man in whom I created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, creeping thing and birds of the air, for I am sorry that I made them. But Noah, can somebody say, but Noah? Can somebody say, but God? See, there could be all kinds of evil that you might be dealing with in your life, but the grace of God still can come into your life with all evil still working in your life. And I love this. It says, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. So we see here that Noah was a man that found grace, and God revealed to him what he was going to do, and God gave him, you know, grace is two key elements to grace. One is opportunity. God gives us opportunity. And number two, ability. God gives us ability. His grace gives us opportunity, and his grace gives us ability. You might say, oh man, I don't think I'll be able to run a company. How do you know you can't run your own company? Because he gives you opportunity, and then he can give you ability. Did he not give Noah ability to build the ark, a boat that was never built in the history of mankind? Did he not give Noah the ability, the schematics, the know-how, how to do it? If God gives you the opportunity, God will give you the ability. Ooh, I'm preaching today. Glory to God. Hey, are you hearing what I'm saying today? If he gives you the opportunity, he will give you the ability. Hallelujah. You know, Yen's mom had a house in Portsmouth, and their first house, they went through a realtor. But I had a house in Oklahoma, and I sold that by owner. I didn't have a real estate agent. Not against real estate agents. Thank God for real estate agents. But I thought, you know what? I could do it myself. Amen. With me and God, we're a majority. And I sold my house as a owner, you know, for sale by owner. And I put that sign out there, and I think it was the first offer I got, and the lady said, I want to pay cash for your house. Can somebody say grace? And I was fixing up the house. It wasn't even ready to be sold, and it was sold before I even fixed it up. Can somebody say grace? I put the sign out there, and the angels go to work. And then Yen's parents asked if we could sell their little house in Portsmouth. And I said, well, I believe we can. I sold one already. And so we ended up selling that house in Portsmouth for them for sell by owner. We Googled some information, you know. It's key to get some information. It's God conceals a matter, but kings search out a matter. The Bible says God conceals a matter. But kings, in other words, you got to do some homework. Yes. Look at your neighbor and say, do some homework. See, God wants you doing some homework every once in a while. In other words, getting some knowledge, because knowledge is power. And biblical knowledge is superpower. Amen. And so we sold that house, and they blessed us with a financial gift that was way beyond what a real estate agent would have received. I'm talking thousands. Wow. Why? Opportunity and ability. That's what God's grace gives. Man, I could just drop the mic right now. We go eat. Glory to God. Amen. Opportunity and ability. Man, I'm getting excited about this message. Glory to God. And God's grace empowered Noah. And this is what he empowered Noah with. You ready for this? God's grace empowered Noah with wisdom, knowledge, and ability to do the job that God wanted him to do, which was to save the human race and to save the animal race. God gave him wisdom. Wisdom is knowing what to do and when to do it. Amen. And so he showed Noah what he was going to do. God can show you things to come before they come. God can reveal to you an investment that's going to make you $1 million before it pays off. God can do the miraculous, but we got to step into it. He's knocking on the door, but are we answering the door? Are you hearing what I'm saying today? So God's grace can reveal future events and empower us to do something about it. My question is, why did God have favor on Noah? You know, why did God pick Noah out of all these people that were on the planet? Why was Noah? Did God just say, I'm just going to pick this one person? No, I believe that Noah, there was something about his character that caused God's grace to be upon his life. Amen. There's something about the character. Your character will draw the blessings and the anointing of God on your lives. Do you believe that today? And we find a clue here in 2 Peter 2, 4, and 5. In 2 Peter 2, 4, and 5, it says, "For if God did not spare the angels who sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be revealed for judgment, and did not spare the ancient world, but saved Noah, one of eight people, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood on the world of the ungodly." So we see here that Peter reveals that, you know, Noah was a preacher of righteousness. A preacher of righteousness. My question to you, do you love the truth of God's word? Do you love to talk about God? Do you love to minister the truth of God's word in a dark and twisted world that we live in? Are you a righteous proclaimer? A preacher means that you proclaim. Do you proclaim the truth of God's word in the dark world regions that we live in? And if you are doing that by walking before God, by praying for people, talking to them about Jesus, you're exalting the truth of Jesus over the lies of the devil. Amen. So I believe that if we proclaim the truth and we are walking righteously before God, it causes God's grace to be upon our lives. Amen. There is another key. You ready for the second key? That the anointing was on Noah. Why was the favor and grace on Noah? It's in Genesis 8:20. It says that Noah built an altar to the Lord. This is when the boat rested, the water receded, the boat rested on the shore and on the mountain. Glory to God, the boat rested. They got out of the boat. And what was the first thing that Noah did? What was the first thing he did? It says here that Noah built an altar to the Lord, took every clean animal of every clean bird offer it as a burnt offering as on the altar. So the first thing he did was he gave God thanksgiving and praise, and he gave God an offering. Think about that. And so I'm going to say this. If you're going to walk in the anointing or the grace of God, if you're going to increase it, you better be a worshiper. You better be a person that loves to worship the Lord. Because God, you become attractable. Can I say that? You become attractable to God when you are a worshiper to the Lord. In other words, God is attracted to you. Amen. Like a magnet. God will be drawn. God is drawn to worshipers. Did not Jesus say God is looking for those that will worship Him in spirit and in truth? Did He not say that to the lady at the well? That He's looking for worshipers? Somebody say, I'm a worshiper. And now what made David, the patriarch, the king of Israel, what made him so valuable, so precious in God's sight? Well, I believe, and I would have to submit to you this morning, that David was so precious to God because he was a worshiper. David wrote the Psalms, and those Psalms you should be reading every day. Yes, you say that's works-based religion. No, that's smart. That's smart. Sure, you should be studying the Psalms every day. You need to be worshiping. Learn to worship God. And I love this in Psalms 89:20. This is powerful. He says this, I have found my servant David with my holy oil. I have anointed him. Notice that he had put grace on it. Did David not have grace on his life? Did he always seem to be beating the Philistines? Did the lady say Saul killed his thousands, but David's his 10,000s? Well, what am I saying to you today? Well, when you're under the anointing of God, you won't just destroy thousands of enemies. You will destroy tens of thousands of enemies. Are you hearing what I'm saying today? In other words, it will put you into the next level. It will put you into the multitude level. You believe that? And he said, I found David with my holy oil. I have anointed him, with whom my hand shall be established. Also my arm shall strengthen him. The anointing will strengthen you. The enemy shall not outwit him. The devil will not be able to deceive you when you're walking under the grace of God, because God will alert you to that. Amen. It says here, nor the son of wickedness will afflict him. You will have divine health walking under the anointing of God. Some say that when you pray in the Holy Spirit, it actually increases your ability to heal. Amen. It actually increases your ability to heal. Some of you might need to be praying in the Holy Spirit a little bit more. Amen. Amen. Because you're praying out perfect prayers. And you're praying and you're speaking to God in that unknown language. Glory to God. You may not know what it's saying, but you're saying, but God knows what you're saying. And you're praying out mysteries. And you're praying out your future. And you're praying out your family's future. And you're doing more than you think you are. And the devil wants to keep you from praying in the Holy Ghost. And I want to encourage you to pray in the Holy Ghost. If you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, then it doesn't need to be drying up in your life. Amen. It needs to be a river that flows out of you constantly. Amen. I got a river of life flowing out of me. Makes the lame to walk and the blind to see. Opens prison doors, make the captives free. I got a river of life flowing out of me. Glory to God. I don't want to sing it, you know. I got a river of life flowing out of me. Makes a lame to walk. And you got to bob your head like this. Makes a lame to walk and a blind to see. It causes the anointing. Amen. Glory to God. Anyway, you don't have to bob your head. I saw this preacher, he was bobbing his head one time while somebody was preaching. I said, man, that might be anointing there. Increasing the anointing. Amen. And the faith. And it says here, the son of wickedness will not afflict him. I will beat down his foes before his face and plague those who hate him. Your haters, they better be careful, because God, may just, may just, oh my gosh, vengeance is the Lord's. Your haters better be careful. Amen? Because you don't want God, you better be praying for your haters. Amen? Mercy. It says, my mercy will keep them forever. You know, God's mercy, His anointing, His grace will keep you forever. Oh, glory to God. I'm preaching. Amen? My covenant shall stand firm with him. His seed will make to endure forever. His throne as the days of heaven. Listen to that. Think about that. His throne as the days of heaven. In other words, God, the grace of God, when you increase the anointing of God on your life, it'll be like days of heaven on earth. I don't know about you, but I just don't want hours of heaven on earth. You know, Sunday morning is like being in heaven. Well, that's a weak amen. Sunday, you say, well, that's a weak amen. Sunday morning, being under the grace of God is a little slice of heaven. Can I get an amen? Amen. And when you come to church, you're coming into a heavenly place. Are you hearing what I'm saying to you today? Glory to God. You're getting a little slice of heaven. You get a little more greater anointing on your life. Glory to God. Amen. Now let's look at it. Man, I could shut this down right. Let's look at another person. I gotta keep going. Look how much I got here. Man, look at this. You gotta look at this. This is powerful. You ready for this next one? Hallelujah. We need to look at another person that had favor and grace on their life. Somebody say favor.
Favor.
Amen. Somebody say highly favored. Somebody say, I am highly favored of God. Amen. You got to believe you're highly favored of God. Amen. Yes, and you're His favorite. You know, the word favor, there's a word that comes out of it, favorite. Favorite. Does anybody have any favorite foods? Does anybody have any favorite, anything that you favor, that you have favorite? And in other words, God. In other words, you can be God's favorite. Amen. In other words, God has your picture in His wallet. Amen. God has your picture on His refrigerator. Amen. And I love this. And in Luke 1:26, let's look at Luke 1:26. It says, now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city in Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. Having come in, the angel said to her, rejoice, highly favored one. I love that. The angel Gabriel said, rejoice, highly favored one. When you get a revelation that you're highly favored, it should bring joy in your lives. In other words, it should cause you to rejoice, amen, because you know that you are one of God's favorite children. Did not John say, it's okay to say that, because did not John say that I'm the disciple that Jesus loves the most? Remember John? And guess what? Did John outlive all the other apostles? He outlived all the other apostles. Why? Because he was wrapped up in Jesus' love. When you get wrapped up in Jesus' love, you're going to outlive everybody else. Can I get a witness in the house today? And it says here, rejoice. I'm going to say this to you this morning. Rejoice. Highly favor people of God. Rejoice. And the Lord, and I love this, and the Lord is with you. I'm going to say this to you today, man. The Lord is with you. The Lord is with you coming in. The Lord is with you going out. The Lord is with you in the city. The Lord is with you in the field. The Lord is with you. He was with me last night when I almost got in a car accident. Woo, glory to God. I'm telling you, it was so close. It was so close. I mean, my heart, I think, stopped. Little man. That's how. Have you ever been that close? Has anybody ever been that close to a serious situation in your life. Well, God can stop those serious situations. You believe that today? And then he says, rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. And another word for Jesus is Emmanuel. And another, and the meaning of Emmanuel is God is with us. Somebody say, God is with me. And if God is with you, you are highly favored. If you're highly favored, you're going to have the blessing of God in your lives. You believe that today? So we see that, and we can get some keys to why Mary was highly favored. Number one, Mary was a virgin. So she was a virgin, and so that means that she was pure. She was sexually pure. She was pure in her body. She was pure in her thoughts. And I'm telling you, purity is the key. Walking in purity and holiness is the key to walking in the anointing of God. Was Jesus not holy?
Amen.
And was Jesus pure?
Amen.
And, you know, and did Jesus walk in grace anointing?
Amen.
And so I love this because it says here in Matthew 5:8, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And I got this in parentheses, favor on their lives. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God's favor in their or on their lives. I love that. And number two, she saw herself as a servant of God. If you're going to walk in a greater grace, you have to see yourself as a servant. You can't be a person that wants to be served all day long. No, you got to be a take on a heart of a servant. Amen? I love that. In John 6:38, it says, for I have come down from heaven, talking to this Jesus, not to do my own will, but to do the will of the Father. So we see here that Jesus was servant of all. And so we see that. So Mary, she was pure and innocent. Mary served God, and Mary said yes and amen to the word of God. If you're going to walk in the grace of God, you got to believe God's word. Say, believe God's word. So you got to believe God's word. And there's people that would rather believe an experience than to believe God's word. I was ministering to one person yesterday, and they wanted to believe an experience. I said, well, if it goes with somebody's experience and God's word, I'm siding with God's word.
Amen.
Just because somebody has an experience and they may have saw the risen Lord Jesus Christ, if it goes against the word of God, then that might have been an angel of light, an angel of darkness, masquerading as an angel of light. If it doesn't go with the word, then I'm not going to go with it.
Amen.
In other words, God's word is God in my life. I love that. And so she believed the word of God. Amen. And I love this because in Matthew 8, the centurion said to Jesus, just speak the word and my servant will be healed. And Jesus, the Bible says, he marveled, and he marveled at his great faith and said, people like him that believe God's word will be sitting at the table with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in heaven. And I'm going to say this, you better start believing God's word, because believing God's word will cause the anointing of God to move in your lives. You believe that today? So I want to be like the centurion. I want to be like Mary. According to thy word, let it be done unto me. Amen? You know, Jesus grew in favor. Amen? Let's look at Luke 2:40. Let's talk about Jesus' grace here quickly. In Luke 2:40, he says, and the child grew and became strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, grace of God was upon him. So we see here that Jesus came and he had the grace of God on him. In Luke 2:52, it says, Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. I'm going to say this. I love this because I believe this scripture is saying that we can increase in wisdom. We can increase in stature. We can increase in favor with God and man. You believe that today?
Amen.
You believe that the grace can be increased in your lives, glory to God. And he wants to give us favor, and that favor will change our destinies. You believe that today? I love that. You know, when in Proverbs 16:7, it says, when a man's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies be at peace with him. God's grace and anointing can cause your enemies to be at peace with you. You believe that today? I believe that we need to get a hold of God's grace, because God's grace will change everything in our lives, and we can increase that grace. And I'm going to say this, it's not meant to be hard. God doesn't want us walking a hard life down here. God wants us walking under an open heaven. He wants our prayers to be answered. Do you believe that today? Didn't Jesus say in Matthew 11:28, come to me, all who are labor and of heavy laden, and I will give you turmoil. Yes. Yeah, some people think, oh, God's putting me through the test. He's giving me turmoil today. Yes, he's making me into something. And people believe problems come from God. Problems don't come from God. The promises, can I wake you up this morning? It's the promises that come from God, not the problems. My pastor used to say, I'm not your problem. You know, sometimes the congregation will get mad at the pastor. And the pastor would say, I'm not your problem. Amen. I'm not your problem. Your neighbor's not your problem. Amen. You know who's your problem? It's the devil. He's your problem. Do you believe that today? And it says here that God will give you rest. So God's not giving you problems. He's giving you promises. And some people believe that God gives us problems to purify us. No, it's the devil that gives us problems. And we, us standing in God praying, you know, a crisis always brings us to Christ. And that brings us through the process. And we become more like Jesus. But it's the devil that's throwing problems at us. It's not God giving us problems. Can I upend some of your theology this morning? And it says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. God has light burdens, glory to God. And I love this where it says in 2 Peter 3:17-18, it says, you therefore, beloved, since you've known this beforehand, beware lest you fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked, but grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory forever and ever. So Peter is saying here, he says, don't start backing off the things of God. Don't fall from your own steadfastness. In other words, what he's saying is, if you continue to stay steadfast in God, you won't fall. The grace of God will stay on your life. What is being steadfast in God? That means you're staying faithful to God. That means you're not giving up. You're not throwing in the towel. You're not saying it's not worth serving God anymore. No, you're sticking in it. You're staying in it to win it.
Amen.
You're not going to give up. Ruth could have said, well, you know, my husband died. I can go back home to mom and daddy. I could find a young husband. But Ruth said, no, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to stay faithful to Naomi. I'm going to stay faithful to my mother-in-law. I'm going to stay faithful to the God that she serves. And Ruth said, I'm not going to go back to mom and dad. Her people are going to be my people. And Ruth stayed with Naomi. Naomi went back to Israel. And then what happened? God gave Ruth, because of her faithfulness, faithfulness will bring in the grace of God. This is my point that I'm trying to make. Faithfulness will bring in the grace of God. And Ruth had grace on her life. When she was gleaming in the fields, you know, Boaz noticed her and said, give her extra stuff. And you can come to my table and drink water whenever you want to. And you can have this, and stay in my field because I'll take care of you. What does the grace of God do? The grace of God will take care of you. will give you favor. See, she had uncommon favor. There were other ladies gleaming. There were other women gleaming. There may have been even prettier ones gleaming. There might have been even younger ones gleaming in the fields. But Ruth, glory to God, she stood out. Why? And she said, why do I have such favor and grace with you, Boaz? And Boaz said, because you gave up your family. You're with Naomi. You are faithful. You're a woman of character. You're a woman that you deserve the grace of God in your life.
Glory, hallelujah.
Oh, you hear what I'm saying today? And what happened? Boaz ended up marrying Ruth. And then Boaz was a wealthy landowner. Ruth married into wealth. And then Ruth became the great-great-grandmother of King David. Oh, my God. Can you say the favor of God can bring you into the grace of God? Do you believe that today? So I want to wrap this up. John 1:14. Let me just go here. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus is full of grace and truth. The law came through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Glory to God. There is no grace outside of Jesus for your lives. And I love what it says in verse 16 and 17. And it's His fullness we have received grace for grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. So it says here that we receive grace for grace. That, you know what that means? When you receive Jesus, you receive layered grace. You receive so much grace that it will be able to move you into the places that God's moving you into. To wrap it up, God's saving grace is the gift that God bestows on all those that accept it. Yes, you must accept God's grace. God's grace can be increased in our lives by living as a witness to the truth of God's word, by being a worshiper, by staying pure in our walk with God, by maintaining a servant's attitude, and by staying faithful in our walk with God. When we walk in these principles, we will have the abundant grace flowing in our lives. Somebody say, the overflow. And I'm telling you, the grace of God will cause you to walk in the overflow. Glory to God. Did you receive it this morning? Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, I thank You for Your mercies and Your goodness and Your love. I thank You that, Jesus, You are our grace. You are our favor that God has given us. And we thank You, Jesus. There's no grace outside of You. And Father, I thank You for every person here listening and watching, those that are watching and listening today. And perhaps you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life. Well, you need the grace of God in your life, and you cannot get it unless you're walking in under the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to give you an invitation to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Get the grace of God in your life. Allow God to bless you abundantly above more than you can ask or think. So pray this prayer and mean your heart. Say, dear God, I believe Jesus died on the cross. I believe Jesus was raised from the dead. I receive Jesus as my Lord and my Savior. Thank You, Jesus, for saving me. And Heavenly Father, fill me with Your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.
We thank you for listening to this message. For more information, visit us at exceedlifechurch.org.